Today's scripture, I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and then 18 through 21. And again, I'm reading from the Inclusive Bible. It's a relatively new Bible. I highly recommend it to you all. We have come to know and to believe in the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God and God in them. There is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear. To fear is to expect punishment, and anyone who is afraid is still imperfect in love. We love because God first loved us. If you say you love God, but you hate your sister or brother, you're a liar. For you cannot love God whom you have not seen. If you hate your brother whom you have seen. If we love God, we should love our sisters and brothers as well. And we have this commandment from God. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. You know, it seems like every year the bastardization of Christianity that's birthed by the unholy wedding of churchianity and conservative politics, it seems like it becomes more and more extreme and less like the man whose title is the namesake of the movement. Every year, their efforts full-heartedly attempt to rob the unfathomably epic expansiveness, the unfathomably, you know, it writes well, it speaks difficult, unfathomably epic expansiveness of God, and then they try to replace it with an ever-increasing myopic God. Misguidedly trying to put God in a box so they can use God as a prop, as a tool, as a weapon. When the President of the United States, a man who I dare say has not spent many Sundays in church, when he points to a man who is a lifelong devout Catholic and says that man will hurt God and is against God, I have to believe it's because the God of which the president is speaking is small enough to be easily hurt and is so far away from the reality of God that any well-informed Christian would be. And yes, trust me when I say that kind of God is always a him. It seems that we have a belief problem. As the churchianity of the United States continues to grow, it intentionally skews belief system away from loving kindness in favor for an elitist exceptionalism that's designed to support the idea that some people are more deserving of God's love than others, that some people are more chosen than others, that some people are rightly more blessed than others. Given the nightmarish landscape that inevitably coincides with a spirituality that gives some people control over God and values some people more than others, I couldn't help but believe that now might be a very good time to talk about, well, what I believe. So the title of my talk is I believe. I believe that Christianity has spent too much time shrinking God rather than growing its concept of God. I believe that Giordano Bruno was right in 1593 as the Roman Inquisition tried him for heresy for his lack of belief in eternal damnation, the Trinity, the divinity of Christ, the virginity of Mary, and transubstantiation. And he told the panel that they worshiped and quote, a too small God. I actually wrote a letter to this too small God, and it went pretty viral. Both the Huffington Post and Time Magazine Online picked it up. I'd like to share with you part of what I said in it. Dear too small God, I'd never heard of Girondo Bruno fellow, that Girondo fellow, but I like what he had to say when the institutional church of the day came after him for entertaining rational thought, a.k.a. thinking for himself and not towing the party. He said, your God is too small. Frankly, in those five little words, he completely nailed the problem. Any understanding of God that cannot withstand questions and rational thought is a too small God. And I'm sorry, but that's you. At least it's the version of you that far too many of your followers worship. From evolution to climate change, far too many of your followers are willing to sacrifice logic and reason for you. I never thought that those were the kinds of sacrifice that pleased you. Why would people want to worship something that is fat, frail, and insecure? Don't get me wrong. I've tried to make space for you. Even long after I didn't believe in the too small version of you that they talk about, I tried to make space for you, believing we are all on different journeys, and the too small version of you that some people worship was okay for them where they were on their journey. I was wrong. It is not okay. As a matter of fact, that version of you is so myopically infinitesimal in comparison to what a God worthy of worship would be that it begs to be put down for the betterment of humanity. That version of you hurts people. That version of you encourages one group of people to feel superior to others. It justifies self-righteous judgment, and it's not uncommon to see it lead to violence. You see, a God who could have stopped the Yom Shoah Holocaust and didn't, it's not a God I can remain in relationship with. A God that's so afraid of mere questions that people must be burned at the stake is not a God I can respect, more or less worship. A God who graces some lives with the opportunities to be rich and famous while others seemingly ignoring others, like the 2.6 million children who die from hunger-related causes each year on a planet with more than enough food for everyone, is not a God who deserves honor, let alone worship. That God is a God of the privileged. It's a God designed to reinforce exceptionalism and justify the unjustifiable behavior of the powerful. That God is a God tailored designed to make lemmings of his adherents to the point of denying reality and dismissing science for the sake of further propping up the bastardization of the God I believe Jesus was trying to teach us about. So it's over. We're finished. I simply can't make space for you any longer. I won't play nice. You need to go away. You are too small of a God. Hey, don't worry about me. I'm going to be just fine. It turns out there's a bigger God, full of love, compassion, and reveling in the questions. Oh, and a bit tired of the dogma and sacrificial bleeding of reason. I'm going to end my reading there. I wrote that a few years ago. I still believe that. And I decided to put it into my own, well, personal statement of faith. I've shared this with some of my congregation before. It's been slightly changed because, as you're here at the end of it, that's what I do. But this point, I'd like to share with all of you out there my personal statement of faith. This I believe. I believe that the fullest expression of God comes in how we treat others, particularly the marginalized. I believe that God is known by many names. No religion has exclusive rights for naming God. Human intellectual limitations prevent us from seeing the fullness of God. We can, however, see the results of humanity expressing God. Love, peace, hope, forgiveness, grace, inclusiveness, justice, equality. God surrounds us, is in us, is in others, and connects us all. God is not a name. It's a label that points to that which we do not fully understand. I believe that the life and teachings of Jesus show us how to express God in our lives. For me, the teachings of Jesus are the most instructive in expressing God. Other spiritual teachers have also taught about this thing we call God, and it is beneficial to be instructed by them as well. In Jesus, we see what a life lived expressing God looks like. And a key part of it is lovingly confronting the abuse of power. Doing so cost him his life and showed us how far love will go for justice. I believe that we experience the movement of God on a daily basis throughout creation. Frequently, some folks call that movement the Holy Spirit. It is given to doing its own thing and should not be taken lightly. I believe that belief alone is not enough. But belief is meaningless without action. How that action benefits creation, well, that's the surest indication of its validity and its value. I believe that your theological outlook should be constantly changing. If it's not, you're not taking it seriously enough. Creeds and dogma betray this reality when taken at face value. Beliefs should be informed by sacred texts, spiritual guides, and life experience. And that life experience includes science, art, nature, relationships. I believe that God is love. If something isn't loving, doesn't come from a loving place, doesn't promote love, it isn't from God. All statements of faith should be continuous works in progress. This, I believe. Amen. Let's take a moment and share in a moment of prayer or meditation. Receive it in whatever way is most meaningful to you. Good and gracious God, it is easy to get so caught up in the busyness and troubles of our own lives that we forget we are called to be transformers for justice in this world. There is so much pain, so much loneliness, so much sickness, so much loss, so much injustice in this world that it can sometimes seem like just the way things are. Let us never forget that creation contains the possibility of heaven here on earth, a fellowship of humanity. Let us never forget that the teachings of Jesus, as well as the teachings of so many other great spiritual leaders can lead us to a world where suffering is greatly reduced. And until that time, may we learn not only to confront injustices, but to comfort those who suffer, and to be open to receiving comfort when we are the ones suffering. Amen.